no rhyme, is a tremendous opportunity to move in over here. Is obviously a tremendous opportunity. Ani l'doigdi v'doigdi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. But let's try to understand exactly what is the opportunity. What is the opportunity of Chodesh Elul? What is the opportunity of Rosh Hashanah? What is the opportunity of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah and Yom HaKippur? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us a famous pasuk. We're used to hearing this when we're hungry. Yirshu Hashem bihimatzo kira'u biyosokoro. Where's that from? Sounds familiar? Haftor, right. Haftor from a Tainis Sibur. On a Tainis, that's the Haftor. Yirshu Hashem bihimatzo, search HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's found. Says the Gemara, Yirshu Hashem bihimatzo, you want to know the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found? Elu hayomim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. These are the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Behimatzai. But it's interesting. That's what the Gemara says. But it only explains the first part of the pasuk. Dirshu Hashem behimatzai. That's Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Kiruhu b'yosai karov. Call him when he's close. Not so clear from the Gemara exactly what that means. So question number one for tonight, aside from the introductory question of what is our avoda of Elul and Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, is what exactly is this double lashon? Dirshu Hashem bihimatzai, kiru'u b'yosai karov. If bihimatzai is yom norayim, so then what is kiru'u b'yosai karov? Says the Baal HaTanya, in Parshas Re'eh, in the Sefer Torah, you want to know what Rosh Hashanah is all about? Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets onto his throne, and it is a day that is intense in the heavens of Yerushalayim, and it's a day where here in the beautiful davening of the yeshiva, you could imbibe Yerushalayim. But says the Baal HaTanya, if the period before Rosh Hashanah is that time of intense Yerushalayim, so then the time before is the time to prepare. And that time to prepare, says the Baal HaTanya, should be just as important in Chassidus. The Hachana, the preparation, is just as important as the mitzvah itself. Yet all we have is a vague reference, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, to that preparation. Asks the Baal HaTanya in a very serious way. He says, all of Elul should be that Yom Tov preparing. And why is it that Elul is not a Yom Tov? So two questions. Number one, what does it mean, Kiru b'yosei karov, if you already said it by Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzo? And question number two, is why is it that in Elul there's almost no reference in the Yitzumo Shel Yom, in the essence of the day, that's not a Yom Tov? Comes along the Baal HaTanya and he coins a term that some of you might have heard, which I think many of you haven't really spent time understanding. It's become very, very popular, particularly through Chassidus of Breslov. I want to read it to you, though, in the Baal HaTanya's words. Achine yuvan al pi mashal lemelech shekadam bo li'ir. A king, when he comes to the city to, and ultimately is going to sit as the ruler of that capital city, yoytzin ha'ansheir likrasay u'mekablim panav basada. The king, and here's the term, is melech basada. He's a king, but he's out in the field. Va'oz rashoin kol mi sheroitze lotze sahak bilpanav. Then whoever wants, the king is right there. V'hu mekabel es kulam b'sever panim yafos Umaros Panav Shochakos Lekulam. In contrast to Rosh Hashanah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be singing on the throne. And what comes into the world is a tremendous espilus of Yiras Hashem. And if you tap in that davening, that's something that the Baal HaTanya describes could stay with you for the rest of the year. And therefore that day is Yom Nora V'Oyom, as we refer to in davening. But there's something that precedes it. Elul is a time where it's Melech Basodeh. The Melech is in the field. The Melech is not sitting on his throne. And anybody who wants could come close, could touch him, and relate to him. And if you're going to start on Rosh Hashanah, he's going to be on too high of a place. But if you start now in Elul, says the Baal HaTanya, that's why it's not a Yom Tov. Because when it's a Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'malchuso, yismichu b'malchuscha. When Shabbos and Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'malchus. So it can't be a Yom Tov. Elul should be a Yom Tov. All of Elul should be marked as a Yom Tov, but it can't be. It would deprive us of the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us during this time. And that is Melech Basadeh. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available. Oh, if that's the pshat, maybe we could add to the pasuk, Dirshu Hashem bihi matzai. Search HaKadosh Baruch Hu bihi matzai, when he could be found. Eilu hayamim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yayim HaKippurim. That's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But kiru'uhu b'yaisai karai. Kiru b'yaisai karai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, he's not sitting al kisei malchuso on his throne. That's now. Now is the Melech Basadeh. Rav Dani and I were reflecting on the tremendous koach of one of the greatest teachers of his generation, Rav Melech Biederman. Rav Melech Biederman told over a story that he heard from a 90-year-old tzaddik, who's one of the important leaders of the Eda HaCharedis, Rav Tuvia Weiss. Rav Tuvia Weiss was a child survivor of the Holocaust. And Rav Biederman heard a story from him, and only like Rav Biederman can, he turned a tragic story into a tremendous piece of information. Rav Weiss grew up in Hungary. My family's from Poland. Almost all of our family was killed by the Nazis. By the way, you know how many people, what percentage of Polish Jewry was killed by the Nazis? 90%. In our family, 9 out of 10 of the family members, not just 10, hundreds, 9 out of 10 were killed al Kiddush Hashem. But in my opinion, the greatest tragedy of the Holocaust, if there can be a greatest tragedy, is the fate of Hungarian Jews. Because my great uncles and great aunts and great grandparents were killed by the Nazis by 1943. But in Hungary, the Jews were alive and well at 1943. And people warned them, Hungary is not doing well, the Nazis might invade. 1 million Jews, Hungarian Jews, were killed between the end of 1943, probably already 1944 and 1945. The Nazis were already losing the war. 1 million Jews during that last year. And Dayan Weiss's parents and his siblings were amongst those that were killed al Kiddush Hashem. He as a child survived. How did he survive? So he told Rav Biederman, I'll tell you how I survived. I was lucky. What happened was, my parents had a sense that something was going on. Unfortunately, Hungarian Jewry had not mobilized. And they managed to send me to England. Dayan Weiss is now a Dayan Yerushalayim, but most of his life he was a Dayan in England. And they sent me to England on a kinder transport. The king at the time of England was King George the Sixth, I believe, or the Fourth, the Sixth. There's actually a movie about him. King George was a stutterer. But King George, in his goodness, and we have to be forever indebted to it, King George arranged that the Kindler transport had a hand in helping Hungarian Jewish children make their way to England. And Diane Weiss described that the king actually, in 1944, now London had already been bombed out, but the king graciously came to visit the children, and the children who had survived from Hungary lined the streets to say thank you. And the king rode through the streets, and all the children that he had the merit of having a hand to save, I don't know if they saluted, they waved, the king must have been moved. And then something happened. There was one Jewish child who was standing in the street, and he ran out. The people who were in the head of the orphanage had told him exactly where to stand. And there was one child that ran out to the king's car, and he stopped the car. And he said to him in a broken English, in Hungarian English, he says to him, "You saved me, but what about my parents?" The king stopped the car, and he took out a pen and paper, and he asked, "What's your parents' name?" They wrote down their names, and Diane Weiss said, "There was one child in the orphanage whose parents survived. The one who took the opportunity when the melech was basadeh, he ran out. And he had what Rav Biederman describes, azus de kedusha, holy chutzpah." He said, "The melech is the basadeh, I'm going to take advantage of it. And even though everybody else is scared, they're held back by their inhibitions, they're held back that they don't believe that they could accomplish, I have absolutely nothing to lose, and my life of my parents are at stake." Now that requires a tremendous, tremendous inner strength. So Rav Weiss told it to Rav Biederman in pain, "I didn't run out." So Rav Biederman says to us, "Rabosai, that's Elul. Chodesh Elul, the Melech is Basada. But how many of us have the Azus, the Kedusha, Kiru Ubiyoso Karov?" I gave this shmuz in the Old City last year. Rav Neven Sal Shlita was sitting in the back. And every once in a while, Rav Neven Sal will call me over after the shmuz and he'll add something. Sometimes he'll say why he disagrees with what I said. This time, what he said to me was, "There was only one time in my life that I had Azus de Kedusha." He said, "I went over to my Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and I said to him, 'Could you learn with me one-on-one?' And my life was," I'm adding, Rav Neven Sal doesn't speak a lot, "but his life was entirely changed. Because he had Azus de Kedusha to ask one of the Poskei Hadar to teach him." One Shavuos night in YU, I was sitting in the back. I was already older. I was in the Kol Elyon. And I look up, and one of my great Rebbeim, who you'll be Zocha, I hope to see when he comes to visit in the winter, Rav Shechter Shlita, sitting in the front of the Beis Medrash. And one of my students from my Shir, who came to my Chabura, is sitting on the front of the Beis Medrash with Rav Shechter, and he's learning with him. Like where the Rosh Yeshiva sit. He's sitting there, and he's learning with him. I look up 20 minutes later, it's about 11 o'clock at night, Shavuos night, he's still sitting there. And this goes on for almost the entire night of Shavuos. I said to the fellow afterwards, I said, "What happened? How this happened? You learned with him the whole night." He said, "I don't know. I asked Rav Shechter if he wants to learn with me the Chavrusa." And so he said, "Okay." So he said, "I thought he was going to learn with me for 10 minutes. Just like you thought this was going to be 10-minute Musar, right? I thought he was going to learn with me for 10 minutes. And then it just kept on going. Just kept on going. Rabosai, a person needs to have Azus de Kedusha when the Melech is Basada. So many of us think that at the end of the day, you know, this Elul, you know, maybe I'll work on a little bit on this, I'll work a little bit on that. For sure we can't overreach. But you should know, the Pasuk says in Ashrei, Poseach es yodecha umazbia l'chol chai ratzon. The literal translation is Poseach es yadecha, HaKadosh Baruch, you open your hand, umazbia l'chol chai ratzon, and you give everybody kol chai ratzon, all those that live, you give them what they need. But if you read the pasuk carefully, that's not what it says. Poseach es yadecha umazbia l'chol chai, there's an extra word here. Ratzon! Umazbia l'chol chai, HaKadosh Baruch, who satiates all living beings, every single one of us, ratzon, with what you really want. If you really want, if you have that passion, that desire, that ability to overcome those things that naturally hold back the child to run out to the melech, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it to you. But you have to deeply want it. You have to deeply do it. And that's what Rabbi Biderman describes as Azus de Kedusha. I'll conclude with a mashal that I'm probably going to repeat more than once this year. There was once a maskil. Maskil was in the times of the 19th century. There were Jews who were learned, but had become, for lack of a better term, secular. One of them had been an excellent Hebraist. He was a professor in one of the universities in Russia of Hebrew. And he was good friends with the Netziv. The Netziv was one of the giants, the Russia Yeshiva of Volozhin. And he used to talk to Netziv often about Hebrew. The Netziv was not very smart. The Netziv was a giant of Torah, but he was of above average intelligence, but nothing particularly unique. The Netziv became great and authored fantastic svarim by the dint of his amelus. If I could just add parenthetically, I've seen time and time and time again, it's not the smartest boys who become Talmidei Chachamim. And I have a list a mile long of students. I've only been zocha to teach Torah for 16, 17 years. I could list you dozens and dozens of examples in all of my 16 years. The smartest boys were not necessarily the ones who became the Talmidei Chachamim from that year. And the Netziv was an example of that. So Netziv was having a conversation with this Hebraist, and the they were good friends, and this Hebraist felt that he could be open with the Netziv. And he said to the Netziv, I have a question for you. Our knowledge of Hebrew is about the same, of Jewish grammar, of Hebrew grammar. Yet, you've written works in Halacha, and in Medrash, and in Chumash, and I have only excelled in one area. How is it that you've excelled in all areas of Talmud and Medrash and so on? And Ziv said to him, I'll tell you a mashal. With this we conclude. The mashal is you have someone that's going into a store. The person goes into the store and he sees in the garment store that there's someone who gets two free garment bags. And he goes over to the proprietor and he says, these are good quality garment bags, like the suit lady garment bags. And he says to the proprietor, he says, you give me a free garment bag, it's a good bag, I want two as well. And the proprietor looks at the fellow and he says, what are you talking about? You want a garment bag? It's $50. This quality? $50. He said, but you just gave it to the other guy for free. He said, silly, you don't understand. He just bought two high-quality suits, and I sent them to the tailor. So he gets a free garment bag. But you don't want the suit. You just want the garment bag that you have to pay full price. Said the Netziv to his friend the Maskil, when you came in, you said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do I want? I'm not interested in all of Torah. I'm only interested in the grammar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you. But if someone says, like the Netziv did, Netziv cried for this, said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to grow in everything. There was a ratzon for all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. There was a ratzon for all things of Ruchani. Then in such a case, there are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you for food. But we have to have the ratzon to go to the Melech Basada. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya. Dear Shu Hashem b'yimatzoi kiru b'yoisei karoiv. This is the time. This is the time to go to the Melech and say, I want more. And the first step is to decide, What do you really want? What's really important to you in life? Through all of your dreams, through all of the things that you've gone through, starting from the beginning of high school, end of high school, decision to come to Israel, the summers, the complicated summers, all that. Wait a second, what is it? Right now is the opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to come close to Him and to be able to really, truly exercise that awesome opportunity of Ratzon. And Be'ezer Hashem, be zeichot in the Kaddish Shem Shemayim.